Hey, thanks for listening to World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. Today we welcome back one of my favorite bands, It's Not a Surf. That's So Much Love from Not a Surf's new album, Never Not Together. Singer Matthew Cause was challenged to write it during a songwriting panel at South by Southwest because, according to the moderator,
that's how you sign your emails, and I'm always so cheered up when I get an email from you.
The new album is called Never Not Together, and it features Not a Surf's first song with a spoken word interlude since Popular. The song, Something I Should Do, breaks into a sprawling, rapid-fire spoken word delivery to convey Matthew's thoughts about social media.
You know, sometimes you have a big idea and you boil it down to eight lines, but this felt like I don't even know what to think about social media. It's so insane that I thought maybe I'll just let me say everything I want to say, you know?
Today we're joined on stage by Matthew Cause, Daniel Lorca, Ira Elliott, and Louis Lino, and we taped this performance in front of a live studio audience. So it was a blast. Let's get into it. Here's So Much Love, It's Not a Surf on World Cafe. So Much Love from Not a Surf here on the stage, World Cafe Live in Philadelphia. The new album is called Never Not Together. I'm Kaleo on the cafe. Matthew, Ira, Daniel, Louis, it's nice to meet. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So So much love. I absolutely adore that song. I'm so glad that we're coming out of it because it's bright. It's got these beautiful key tones going on. I'm just curious, before we get into the lyrical background of it, was there any sonic inspiration when putting that song together?
Well, yeah, we wanted it to be big and simple. The first thing we were listening to was Don't Back Down by Tom Petty. And then we kind of forgot about that. That was just like something to feel that simple rhythm, that just boom, crack, you know, and try to feel the space in it. But then later we were at Rockfield Studios in Wales where we made the record. And our producer, Ian Lawton, his favorite band is The Cure. So there was a little bit of, you know, I mean, it's not like we're looking for references to copy, but just to answer your question, those are the things that were in our minds, you know?
I always am just curious if there's ever something you're listening to and you're like, I like that tone. And for me, when I heard it, I heard a little bit of Cure and New Order and electronic.
Yeah, New Order, yeah.
So that's right. Just thought that was kind of, I enjoy when a band can take on like lots of different sounds, but still sound uniquely them. Like it doesn't, you know, don't sound like you're being a cover band.
We're stuck that way. We're always going to sound like us. You know, if we tried on purpose, it probably wouldn't work. So, but yeah, you can put different icing on the cake, you know?
Fair enough. So where were you at, Matthew, when you wrote those lyrics, or what was in your head when you sat down to write So Much Love?
Well, it's a quick story. It's that there's a friend of ours, Karen Glauber, invites me down to South by Southwest every year to be on a songwriter panel. And she's put me on the spot a few times, like asked me to write a song on stage, which was terrifying. I don't recommend it. And this time she said, could you write me a song with the title So Much Love? Because that's how you sign your emails. And I'm always so cheered up when I get an email from you. And my first reaction was, well, let's see, we have Always Love, we have Inside of Love, this is probably a bad idea.
You're heading towards the love, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, I wanted to be a good you know, a good friend, a good panel member. So then I sat down to do it, and then I felt, it felt great. You know, I think it was something I probably had wanted to write for a long time, which is like just about the good intentions around you, and especially in this atmosphere right now. It's like we need energy and comfort to get through what we're all going through, no matter what side you're on. You know, it's a trying time, and the material is out there. Material that is to say, goodness. I think in the world in general, you can see it in the way children act. Like they're violent, but they're really kind. Mm-hmm. You know, like a toddler will knock stuff over, but you know,
they mean well.
They mean really
hopefully.
Well. And I think that's I honestly think that's true of most humans. It's just that, you know, our brains are a little too big. We're a little too stressed. But bad actors make more noise.
Yeah.
But I think they're more good actors.
Yeah. Well, this ties perfectly into the larger theme of the record. The title of the album comes from one of the lyrics on the album. Empathy is good. Lack of empathy is bad. Holy math says we're never not together. Can you talk a little bit about what that means and why you wanted to chase that idea?
I got it from Justin Vernon from Bon Iver. I was listening to him talk on the radio, and he said something about, I think it was sacred math, but he was making a point about how no matter what, we're more the same than different. And I also think of at the moon landing, you know, when the astronauts saw the Earth in the sky, apparently they were not prepared for that, for what it would feel like emotionally to see the Earth and to think, like, we've gone to all this trouble. Which is great, you know, I mean, what a heroic and amazing thing to do. But we've gone all this trouble to come to the moon, and then you see the Earth, and like, right, that is what we need to get right, you know? Anyway, but I don't know. I don't have an elaborate or articulate answer for why. It's just a feeling, you know, and I think we all share, us and the band and our friends, you know, that there's so much in common between people.
Mm-hmm. Well, tying it back to your conversation with Karen Glauber and sort of having this wonderful exercise where what essentially becomes an onstage homework assignment becomes this song. Instead of trying to look outward in it, like, or go from a 10,000 foot view, I think a better way to sort of express like that connectivity and humanity comes from on a personal level. So is there something that you've experienced recently that sort of reaffirms your faith in the connectivity of humans?
You know, my wife moved to England, where I've been there for 10 years, and she joined me a few years ago, and I felt like I owed her trying to build a community. And so I introduced myself to everybody on our street. Every single person I'd see, I'd say, hey, am I over there? I live in 26, you know? And for my 50th birthday party, I didn't have any you know, my old friends around, because I'm out there and invited the whole street. And, you know, there's just like, there's community everywhere, and it can be really meaningful.
We're talking to Nada Surf. Never Not Together is the name of the new album here on the World Cafe. You guys have a pretty substantial back catalog, which is very, very good. Daniel, how long have you guys been together as a band?
Oh, that's a tough question. It kind of depends how you count it. Matthew and I knew each other when we were kids, 5 or 6 years old. And then we got in a, started playing together when we were 15 or something like that. And we were huge fans of Ira. So we had little bands before that, but then things really sort of got together once Ira joined us. And so that was probably like 94, 95. We actually met Louis before we even met Ira. So I think part of the reason why this band exists is because Louis moved out of his loft in Williamsburg, and there was an ad in the Village Voice. And I went to see the apartment that he moved out of because he moved upstairs. So then we became neighbors, and we started, he started doing some producing stuff for us and helped us record and stuff. And then and here we are. So
yeah, I love
pretty, it's pretty groovy.
I love those little connections. We're talking to Nada Surf here on World Cafe. Up next, we're going to hear Friend Hospital from 2016's You Know Who You Are. I'm curious why you picked this one, why you wanted to play it today.
Really just been enjoying it lately. It's one of my favorite songs. It's about platonic relationship and friends taking care of each other. I had a friend who, when we were both single, we weren't involved with each other, but she lived in LA and I lived in New York, and when she would come to New York, she'd stay at my house and I'd take her out to dinner, you know, just help her get over jet lag, listen to her problems, and when I would go to LA, she'd do me the same kindness. And so we used to call it that, like, hey, I'm going to be, you know, in New York this weekend. Is Friend Hospital open? And be like, yeah, man, come over. It's just a
beautiful.
You know, so the chorus is, you know, so much better that we're not together, because I will not lose you or be the blues to you. And so there's something beautiful about the simplicity of a platonic friendship.
Cool, we'd love to hear it.
Awesome, thanks.
It's Nada Surf here on World Cafe.
Sadness, new weakness.
Right on, thank you so much. We're going to carry on with another one. This is another song off the new record. The record is Never Not Together, and this song is called Looking For You. And what you seek is seeking you too.
In the middle of a sleepless night, it sneaks in through my window. It takes its time, it stays nearby, till I get down to zero. When I get so tired that I'm ready for a drink, I almost go downstairs, where there's a bottle waiting for me if I find my way there. Here's where it speaks, asking me to freeze, whistling diamond days, telling me my dreams. And I'm looking for a higher vibration. It's fading, but I'll tell you what I know. I believe it will unlock every station. I believe it will untie every rope. A doctor asked me to describe what I thought was my mission. I tried to think of something deep, it seemed beyond description. He said, it's right in front of you, it's only to be well. Days just as they come, try to ring some bells. And I'm ready for that higher vibration. It's faint, but I'll tell you what I know. I believe I believe it.
It's Not a Surf here on World Cafe from the stage of World Cafe Live in Philadelphia. The new album is Never Not Together. We heard the song Looking for You, which is from the new album. And on the album version, there's an absolutely wonderful, I think, children's choir that's part of the song, but also has this wonderful shredding. It's anthemic. It just feels wonderful when you hear it. Can you tell me a little bit about like how that came to be? Because every song has a little bit of a different feel on the album, but that one obviously like stands out in a way that you might not expect.
Yeah. Ira can tell you the time signature. What is it, Ira?
I believe it's 6/8.
6/8. So that's unusual for us.
The measure, the eighth note gets one pulse.
We're of your 4/4 variety, so that already.
You know what? Actually, we never get these sorts of opportunities for the drummer to shine. Would you give us an explanation of what a four to the floor versus a 6/8?
Most music is four beats to the measure. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. Some different speed, but. One, there's four beats, right? The downbeat, the second beat is usually a snare drum, there's the third weakest beat, and then the fourth beat. So 1, 2, 3, 4. That's dividing in four. If you write it in six, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And that's basically 4/4 and 6/8.
Thank you very much. You learn something listening
math,
to the cafe
math,
today.
I learn something every day.
Everything's math. It's all math and science.
It's math. Anyway, I didn't mean to cut off beyond the answer of that. We just started at the time signature.
Yeah, totally. Musically, I don't know. I mean, it's nice that it starts in a chilled out way because that's the way it felt. But the content, I guess, it does feel a little anthemic, and I think maybe that's why we all kind of gathered around to like make it bigger and make it louder. And Daniel had an idea of putting a.
Yeah, because I mean, in Spanish, you call it una nana. It's what you put kids to sleep with. It's like a lullaby. And to me, it just always sounded like a lullaby, like something you'd sing to a kid. And, you know, especially because Matthew's got a 2.5-year-old now. So I just thought of that. And I don't know. I was like, wow, do something like the beginning of that Stones song that starts with the choir and stuff. And I just thought a kid's choir. And so we're very lucky to have a friend in Seattle. His name is Phil Peterson, and he does all the strings for us. And his sister's an incredible violin player. He's a cellist. And I kind of remembered that their mom is like the director of the children's symphony in Seattle. So it's like, would it be like super complicated? What if there were kids singing? He's like, oh, I'll have it done by tomorrow. So, but in the end, it was a bit like, not really like an entire choir of kids. It was just one kid who just did it all. I have an incredible video of him. Like, he was just having such a blast recording himself, and it came out really, really well.
Let's play a little bit of the album version so people can hear that here on World Cafe. It's Not a Surf, the album version of Looking for You.
In the middle of sleepless night, it sneaks in through my window. It takes its time, stays nearby, till I get down to zero. When I get so tired that I'm ready for a drink, I'll almost go downstairs. But there's a bottle waiting for me if I find my way there.
You're listening to World Cafe. Not a Surf are our guests. There is a song that's not on the album, but it is a song that you released in the last year. I'd love to ask you about a question about the unusually titled, but very straightforward, Song for Congress. Can you tell us about the song and then the inspiration behind it?
Yes. While on tour of a few years ago, I was lucky enough to get an invitation to have a private tour of the Capitol building. And it was a very moving experience. It felt like walking into the heart of a country. And it really stayed with me. The ambition that the Founding Fathers had for something to really last, you know. And then a couple of years ago when I started hearing about the child separation at the Mexican-American border, like a lot of people, I was very upset, and I called my Congress people and sent emails, but I felt like I wish there was something more I could do. And I had this kind of moonshot idea, why don't I just do what I do for my job and like write a song about what I would say to a congressperson. And the angle I went for was to say these statues in Statuary Hall, which is a room in the Capitol building, what do you think they'd be thinking now, and what do you think they would say to you? So it was kind of like not telling a congressperson what to think, but asking them to look into their own sense of history, responsibility, morality, and to do whatever they think is right.
Right.
Yeah.
We should play just a little bit of Song for Congress so they can hear some of your message. It's Not a Surf. A little bit of Song for Congress from Not a Surf here on World Cafe. The new album is Never Not Together. I'm Kaleo. I think a really important song, maybe the most important song personally for me on the album, is Something I Should Do. I am curious, it had a spoken word part in it, a significant, substantial, awesome spoken word part in it. I'm curious why you choose at a certain point to go to spoken word versus singing. How do you know when to flip that switch?
I did what felt natural. The backstory is long and I don't know. I don't want to.
Well, you've got a captive audience here, and we'd love to hear it.
Okay, so someone on Twitter from France tweeted, "You guys should do a version of Populaire for 2020 with about social media and memes. It would be very cool." So our manager forwards this email to the band and says, "Populaire 2020? I love our manager, but my head exploded because I'm like, redo a song from 20 years ago that we've in a way been trying to move away from? Like, what are you talking about? No. But then Daniel chimed in with an email saying, "Funny you should mention that. I was imagining on Something You Should Do, there should be some talking, and it could be a self-critical diatribe about social media or something." I wasn't particularly into that either. But I went to see a friend in London. I went to see her daughter is the singer in Starcrawler. So I went to the show that was like just fantastic. You know, I'm in a great mood, and it's a sunny day, and I'm on the train coming back from London to Cambridge. I'm looking out the window. I'm listening to the song on my headphones. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna try that to be a good band member, but also because it's a good idea. And also, I listen to a lot of rap, and I love the sound of just ideas coming quick over a beat. There's something I find really stimulating about it, which is probably why Populaire happened. And recently, somebody on Twitter also said, "My wife loves you guys, but she wishes you wouldn't talk in your songs."
Wishes you wouldn't?
Yeah. So my response was, "Fair enough, though I only do it every 26 years. So it's really not that much to deal with."
Well, we should, give context for our audience, perhaps you're familiar with this song from Not a Surf, released in 1996.
"Being attractive is the most important thing there is. You want to catch the biggest fish in your pond, you have to be as attractive as possible. Make sure to keep your hair spotless and clean. Wash it at least every 2 weeks. Once every 2 weeks. And if you see Johnny Football Hero in the hall, tell him he played a great game. Tell him you liked his article in the newspaper.
I'm the party star. I'm popular. I got my own car. I'm popular."
Why, yes, that is Popular. Yes, very well known for its spoken word verses. You know, it's funny. I went back and listened to that a couple of times before this interview, and I was struck by how remarkably well it holds up. But what do you think of it 25, 26 years later on?
Well, I don't mean to be misleading in my saying to our manager, like, there's no way we're going to resurrect that song. I actually really love it. I'm really proud of that song.
It's a great song.
I'm just not into resurrecting our own thing publicly, you know. But I don't know. I love it. I mean, it's full of ridiculous ideas, but they are taken from an actual book, Penny's Guide to Teenage Charm and Popularity, which was an etiquette book in the early 60s. And it's ridiculous.
You know? Yeah, it was
it's
really
a send-up.
It was really a reaction against, you know, grown-ups basically giving you really bad advice. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, the sarcasm was palpable, even though a lot of people didn't get it.
And not only did they not get that, I mean, there was a little bit of a controversy because filming the music video, was that in Jersey where that happened?
Bayonne, New Jersey, yeah. It was amazing. Yeah, well, so what happened is that we filmed the video there, and then the principal of the school, who had green-lighted the video based on just seeing a treatment for it, when he saw the actual video, which has a couple of moments in it that are, let's say, beefcakey, maybe is a way to put it, he thought it had some homoerotic content, and that outraged him, and he insisted that MTV stop playing it, which, and their reaction was to double the airplay of it. And, you know, and what happened was that I was contacted by Out Magazine, which is a gay culture magazine, and interviewed about it, and my answer was, it wasn't meant to be, but there's nothing, obviously there's nothing wrong. So eroticism, homoeroticism, what's the difference? It's all the same. So it was, you know, it was a weird opportunity to be able to, you know, put forth our opinion about that question, and that we're totally, you know, non-judgmental, egalitarian people. So yeah, it was a funny experience.
Yeah, well, cheers to you on that. Thanks for telling that story for us. Now we're going to hear Something I Should Do, which the spoken word on this, I think, is a little bit more timely and relevant to the events that are going on in today's world. Even if you find a way to work in the Dutch tulip craze and the Haight Ashbury district.
And that, well, that's the other thing about the spoken word part, is that this is one of those things where, you know, sometimes you have a big idea and you boil it down to 8 lines, but this felt like, I don't even know what to think about social media. It's so insane that I thought, maybe I'll just, let me say everything I want to say, you know?
Well, we want to hear exactly what you've had to say. We got one more song. It's Something I Should Do. Please, a huge round of applause. It's Not a Surf.
Critique it. The self-critique is loaded for me anyway, because I've done plenty of that. And while I know that people can identify identify with it and get comfort from hearing someone else adjust themselves internally. I'm also trying to get away from self-regard in general. Even though the unexamined life is not worth living, more opposing truths, they're everywhere, still trying to hold them. I'm trying to look out, leave the mirror out of it, see the tree and contemplate it, and not question who or what or how I am in relation to the trees. But I don't know what it means yet, though I'm partially migrating into a silent conversation. It seems to be increasing unity and tribalism at once, and maybe the two are racing now without a finish line. I was gonna say that likely few got good thinking done during the 17th century Dutch through craze, and this is not so different, but I've recently been heartened and disappointed to learn that the story was greatly exaggerated. Anyway, we're crazy. We're also not crazy. We're complicated. And we want things to be simple. And we polarize in a camp. And we harden and entrench and distort and amplify and shut down and entrench some more. Now you don't have to join the drum circle and get all peace, love, and hate Ashbury. And anyway, that only took a few months to turn into a bad scene, hard drug dystopia, where some people will rob you and you can't be too open. But the hippies sure had a point. And now the lines of non-facts waiting to get into the conversation are longer and longer, and some people can't be beat in an argument. We have to hold on to that hippie point harder. Empathy is good, lack of empathy is bad. Holy mass says we're never not together.
Amazing, amazing. It's Not a Serve from the stage of World Cafe live in Philadelphia. The new album, Never Not Together, is available now. Matthew, Ira, Daniel, Louis, thank you guys so much. Please come back and see us again soon.
We will. Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This is the World Cafe.